Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebelt. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey, listener. Hope you're doing good. I just landed in Vietnam last night. This is a place where people don't make much cash. I've been hearing that working at a place like Starbucks for 6 days a week with one day off full time, you'll come off with like $300 per month. And I bet they still charge you regular prices. If you're hearing the noises in the back, this is definitely not an optimal place to record. Well, it's a decent neighborhood, and I had to get in a decent neighborhood. I mean, over here, people will take your phone, take your wallet, scams all over the place. It's definitely nothing like the US, maybe unless you go to the Bronx. So it's gonna be interesting. I'll be here for 3 weeks. Today I brought on a productivity expert. I normally don't bring on productivity people because I think they're full of shit, but she's talking more from the point of the way the brain works, and I'm always interested in that. So let's see how it goes. Enjoy. Yeah, normally I don't bring on people to talk about productivity. And the reason for that is because I always tell people to just get off their ass and do it.
Right.
You mentioned that you do it from a perspective of neuroscience. Mm-hmm. So could you first explain what neuroscience is? Because I'm not sure if everyone's ever even heard of it.
Sure. It's the science of the brain. So basically how the brain works. Neuroimaging and biofeedback and just all of the processes which happen in the brain. And what's interesting is, you know, with fMRI, the technology hasn't really been very good all the way up until, I mean, really in the last decade. So if you imagine kind of like a printer or a scanner, they're getting better and better, crisper and clearer. And the same thing when, you know, you put a bunch of electrodes on your head, they're basically able to see what essentially is blood flow. So we know the different parts of the brain, but science is making leaps and bounds in terms of understanding what happens in the brain when you are fearful, what happens in the brain when you are happy, what parts are correlated with other parts. There's still a lot to be learned, but in neuroscientists would say, you know, we know 20% of what the brain does, but that's 20% more than we used to know. So that's the field of neuroscience. And then specifically my passion is and my excitement around something called neuroplasticity.
Yeah, so before we go into that, are you a scientist or are you just like geeking out on this stuff?
I call myself an amateur neuroscientist. But how I got to this was that I'm basically addicted to self-help books. And I have been, if you look at my bookshelf, I have many, many of them. And, you know, I was looking for like the fix, you know, what's the plan? What's the 10-step plan? You know, how can I, you know, improve my productivity, get more done, achieve my goals, all of that, have the right mindset of a successful person. I would implement different strategies like, you know, Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People and GTD. And eventually over the course of a couple of weeks, I would just abandon it. And then I came across brain science and something clicked.
I know what you mean about the self-help books. It's kind of like an addiction in the beginning because you just feel like if I just find out one more thing, it'll change everything for me. And then you become kind of jaded, like, he's just saying the same thing as the other 50 guys, just in different words, right? So it like kind of moves from one to the other. Well, I haven't seen really people change much after reading those books. So neuroplasticity, what is it and why should we care?
Neuroplasticity is essentially that the brain is always adapting, learning, and changing based on what it does. And so what's interesting about neuroplasticity is that, you know, we used to think that our brain was like a machine, that each part of our brain performs certain functions and that, you know, no part could do the other part's job. And it was also assumed that, you know, you are who you are. I think it was that you don't establish any new neural connections after about 18 or 19 years of age. But that's been totally debunked. We create new connections constantly. Everything that you do changes your neural networks. There's been a recent hype of habits. So like how habits are formed, how habits can be broken. And that is essentially neuroplasticity at work. So what happens is your brain is triggered by something. When you wake up in the morning, you might just go brush your teeth. And some people, that's on autopilot. You know, someone goes and brushes their teeth. Someone else's routine might be to wake up, make a cup of coffee, sit down, read the newspaper, and then go brush their teeth. And they wake up in the morning and that is on autopilot. They don't think like, should I make coffee today? Should I not make coffee today? Should I brush my teeth first? If I brush my teeth, my coffee's gonna taste like crap. Habits essentially are the brain's way to minimize resources. So if you had to think about putting one foot in front of the other every morning, you wouldn't have much brain energy to do anything else. So it learns these, you know, routines, and there's like the trigger, the habit, and the rewards. Think about it like white powder snow on a mountain. And you go up to the top and there are no tracks. It's completely untouched. And you can go left, you can go right, there's trees, there's, you know, there's danger in kind of any way that you could go. And so you go down one way. So you go down one path and you get back up to the top of the mountain. What are you going to do? Are you going to go down the same path? Or are you going to choose a new, you know, undiscovered, potentially, you know, harmful way of going that that could hurt you? So the brain is always kind of thinking that way. It's like, oh, let's go down the same path that we went before. It's always its default. Like, let's do what we did that worked, even if it is inefficient, even if it, you know, in terms of addictions, you know, people have addictions to all sorts of things, drugs, food, all of that, is that even if it's not good for us, our brain will always default to the known path. But what you can do is essentially the habit trigger reward is you can change that path over time. And with neuroplasticity, basically, they now understand that we can essentially change every aspect of ourselves, because if we can create those new neural paths, we can essentially establish a whole new way of thinking, you know, personalities and all that. There is the nature nurture aspect, and there's still a lot to learn. But the general big discovery, the greatest discovery in the last 400 years of neuroscience, is neuroplasticity, because it does open so much opportunity for people to think about their brains as a machine that can change, that it's not hardwired. Our thinking can turn on and off genes in our body, and our thinking can also change essentially it is blood flow, but the energy of where, you know, what connections we make in our brain. And I like to think about it a lot with work, because in terms of productivity, a lot of the way that we work is just habit. You know, we establish bad habits, whether it's with email or with meetings or with project management. And it's hard to get out of those ways of working because it takes energy and effort and willpower to change the way that you work.
A lot of what you're talking about is kind of free will conditioning and the way we process dopamine and just the way we think.
Yeah, I mean, the chemical,
when you're talking about conditioning, kind of, let's say we can change things, right? Well, sure. There's been some studies of, let's say, people that were scared of, I don't know, spiders, right? And you can condition people. Spiders near you, nothing happens. It gets closer, it touches you, nothing happens. After a while, you kind of change to where you're not scared of that spider. But if you put them in an environment that's stressful and they get anxiety, they're once again scared of that spider, even though they were conditioned. So it's a question of, can we really change, or can we just act like we're changed?
So if you think of your brain as, you know, like a map, you know, a map of the United States, a map of the world, you know, whatever, but more, I guess a good way to think about it is, you know, highways and roads, and when you're like a Google map, like environment, where if you take a certain path and then you stop taking that path in your brain becomes inactive, but it never goes away. So it can always be reactivated. The same thing with your genes. You can turn certain genes on and off based on what you eat, if you exercise, how you think. But that gene is always going to be there and can be turned on at any given point. What you were talking about is cognitive behavior therapy, which is really successful with things like phobias and OCD. But it is true. And the reason that in a fearful situation or in a, you know, in a place of panic and they see a spider, it's that our We have limited willpower and ability and energy to use at any given time. So if your brain is in this fear-based mode, it can light up that old network. The idea, though, with neuroplasticity is that, and this same thing with productivity, is that if you had a bad day, it doesn't mean that tomorrow has to be that way as well.
Yeah, that's true. And I've seen there's been a study before on people that are most prone to be depressed, because we're all different. Some of us are more optimistic than others. And if they meditated for, I think, 15 or 20 minutes for every single day for about a month, and they did the scans with the MRI machine, their brains show to be almost the same as the optimistic people after that time. So there can be some kind of a change, but I'm curious how that can fit into productivity.
Sure. Meditation is actually a really good point, because basically what meditation does, and okay, let's talk about just like really quickly what meditation is and what meditation isn't. So meditation is not thinking, because not thinking is impossible. But you sit and you say, okay, I'm going to focus on my big toe, or I'm going to focus on my breath. Transcendental meditation is like I'm going to like say om, om, om over again in my head. And you sit for a period of time, and every time you get distracted, when you recognize that you are thinking about picking up the laundry or that report that's due in an hour that you need to work on, whatever it might be, you just say, oh yeah, I'm thinking, come back to my breath, or come back to my big toe, or come back to the mantra that you're repeating in your head. And what you're doing is you're training your brain to come back to your attention. So it's really good for people with ADD, or you know, with people that obsess about their thoughts, which often leads to depression, anxiety, and all of that, because you're running that script in your head, which is, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to the gym today, and oh, I'm so overweight, and oh, what am I going to eat? And just trying to bring your attention back to the present moment. All you can do, so I'd like to say there is no past. The past happened in the now. There is no future. The future will happen in the now. The now is all we have. And that relates to productivity in a lot of ways, because our brains are trained to either think in the past or think in the future, because, you know, as a evolution, like we're constantly trying to survive. And we use that to, and it's very useful to, you know, to plan for the future and then to learn from our mistakes in the past. But really, at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to impact your future is what you do in this very moment.
So how can we use this to be more productive?
A couple tips would be use the Pomodoro method. Are you familiar with the Pomodoro method?
Yeah, I kind of use it. It's like 45 minutes of work, I think, and 15, 20 minute break, and then 45 minute work. There's a software for that, right?
There's a ton of timer you can download. I mean, for Android, iPhone, Mac, PC, there's a ton of free downloadable apps, which are essentially just little timers. And you can modify the timer. It originally started 25 minute work, 5 minute break. But now you can go in and kind of edit the settings based on what, you know, works for you. But what's nice about it is, multitasking is the thing that's killing us the most. We are in a constantly on, constantly updating world that, you know, pretty much never ends. And the best thing that you can do for your attention, your focus, your work, your sense of accomplishment, is to, you know, set the timer for 25 minutes and say, I am not going to do anything but write this blog post for 25 minutes. And as you're staring at your screen, it doesn't matter if you don't write a single word. You don't do anything else other than stare at that blank screen. And then maybe 20 minutes in, you start writing and you write for 5 minutes, and then you take a 5 minute break. And a 5 minute break is getting up, going to the bathroom, getting a drink of water, you know, moving your body. The brain and body are so linked, and there's a ton of studies based on like how sitting is just as bad as smoking in terms of our health and what it's doing to us. When the body moves, the brain grooves. So we sit at our computer all day and we don't move and we can't feel our legs anymore, and we're wondering why we're sluggish and why we can't concentrate. Movement is really important too. So that's the idea of, you know, setting a specific amount of time. You can use stuff like the Concentrate app and Freedom, I think, where basically you can set it to, you know, don't allow me to go to Facebook and Twitter, like whatever your triggers might be, to block those things for the next hour or whatever. So just to make it a little bit easier, I've done it where I set up, you know, don't let me go to my email, Facebook, or Twitter for the next hour. And then 45 minutes later, I'll flip and open up Facebook and I'm like, what is the internet down? What's going on? Oh yeah. It's like, it's amazing how quickly we forget. We just run that cycle that we always do when we try to avoid doing the hard work, or, you know, it's a way to distract ourselves. The next suggestion would be in the realm of the whole, you know, the brain, you know, loves novelty, you know, associates different places with different things. So think about your workday and your setup and how you perform different types of work. So I would encourage you to think about, okay, I have four places in my office, or I have three places in my home, and how can I tie different types of work to those places? Because then you're setting yourself up for that automatic, creating those habits and making it a little less difficult to, you know, stay away from different types of work that you shouldn't be doing at that moment, but that you need to do later. So for example, in the morning, I wake up and I sit on my meditation pillow in a different place that I meditate, and I read a book for 20 minutes. And then I go and I brush my teeth and I take a shower, and then I meditate in a different place on a different pillow in a different place in the apartment. And then I go, I have four. Because I associate different places and spaces. And I live in a New York City apartment, so I do not have a lot of space. But it really does work, because when you put yourself in a certain space, it triggers certain types of thinking. So, you know, when you're out at the beach, or when you're taking a shower, when you'll notice that you tend to have certain types of thinking in those spaces. And so, for example, my desk, which I get to by about 10 or 11, and then that's email time. And then I'll move my, you know, I have it hooked up to a big screen. And then I'll move and I'll unhook it from the big screen and move my computer to the couch and start doing some more like strategy, creative work, whatever that might be. So play around with different spaces and how you can associate those different spaces with different types of work, because the brain really does link different places with different types of activity. That's why it's so hard to get to the gym, but once you're there, it's not a problem. You're like, okay, I'm here, I'm going to work out. Because once you're in the gym, you're like, okay, I'm working out. And usually what you didn't want to do, you know, 20 minutes ago before you got there and you're putting on your clothes, once you're there, your brain's in, all right, I'm working out now, and I might as well make the best of it. So it's interesting to think about how you can set up those different places. And again, it doesn't need to be like totally different rooms. It could just be totally different angles or positions or ways that you orient yourself that will trigger, okay, now it's email time. Okay, now it's reading time. Okay, now it's writing time.
Okay, Julia, I don't want to keep you any longer because I know you got to be off at 11:50. So if you could just tell people where they can find you.
You can find me at workhacks.com. That's work and then hacks.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please help out by leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you have any questions, hit me up in the comments on smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.